come out again. And they looked at me and they said, "Opa, what do you have on your hands?" I said, that's only some bruises. And then the little girls, 4 and 5 years old, asked me, "Opa, can we pray for you?" And they started to pray for me. I don't want to give that testimony to all of us. This is our coming generation praying now already for us. And that is amazing. To me, it was amazing. I sent the girls into the house again, and I closed the door and started to cry because I was so moved by that, what they told me. Thank you for listening.
Amen.
Of the Lord this morning and feel his presence. Didn't you feel his presence in the worship? Jesus is here. And as John and Julia have both said this morning, he's real. You know, and just like he did a miracle for our brother so quickly, so rapidly, what can he do in this room this morning? Anything. With man, all things are impossible. With God, they're possible. Amen. I send greetings from mum and dad. They love you. And I know you send back the same greetings to them. Anna isn't here because our youngest is going to university. And as you know, that's a busy time. So she's been accepted into a number of universities. We were about to book the tickets and she said, "Mum, I'm going and I need you to come and look round." So we value your prayers. It's like a real important year for us. Just so you know, I've got some resources out the back, some CDs teaching. If you're interested, just see me after the meeting. Well, I am excited to be here this morning, because I believe I've got the word of the Lord. And all it's going to do is affirm and confirm what God is saying in this place. Because that's what prophecy does. I don't have to think or speculate whether it's going to do that. I know it's going to do it because God has spoken to me. And this morning, I would like to speak to you from a dream. In fact, in this dream, I was preaching and God was ministering to me and giving me the scriptures that I should speak. You know, for us who are teachers and preachers and students of the word, generally, the word never comes like that. You know, you've got to labor in the scriptures. You've got to work at getting the word of God. Sometimes you can prepare everything and God will say, "Last minute, John, as you know, change your message because I want you to go this morning where I'm going," and you'll just speak out of your spirit. But I had a dream. And you know, in this dream, I was in a church this year. I was looking in the church and God was speaking to me. And I believe this morning that if you can receive this verse, it's going to explode in your spirit. If you believe it, if you can receive it, you're going to see it. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now and say, "I'm ready to believe it. I'm ready to receive it. And I'm certainly ready to see it." If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. "There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. You know, these verses here that I saw in this dream that we've read this morning speak to us about a man named Jabez. You know, he's only mentioned in this passage in Scripture. They're two brief verses, and before you know it, you've passed them by. But what was written about this person is not just profound and significant for him. I believe prophetically, it's profound and significant for us as the people of God. You see, Jabez found a way to get the attention of heaven. He found keys, he found principles that released the favor of God from this moment on. You see, at this moment in time, Jabez could have been facing great trouble, great sorrow. Maybe this was the darkest moment in his life, but he cried out. There's the key. He cried out. He released his word and he said, "Oh, will you bless me? Will you expand me? Will you increase me? Will you drive away? Will you push back trouble and pain from my life?" And it says God granted him his request. And church, I believe that just like God granted him his request, I believe God is prophetically saying to you and me in this year that he's ready, willing, and able to grant your requests. Because some of you in this room right now, you've waited too long for breakthrough, and you need to know, just like I need to know and be reminded of, that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. What God says he does, when he speaks, he acts. When we pray, he provides. When we go through tests, many times that's just to bring forth a glorious testimony. And I believe when we step out in faith, God releases breakthrough. And I believe prophetically that God is saying to us in this season, "Beloved, I am ready to manifest my manifest blessing in every area of your life. I don't want you to expect decrease when I'm a God of increase. I don't want you to get depressed anymore. I don't want you to allow fear or frustration to grip you. It's due season to see the trials and the troubles and the tribulations be pushed back from your life. Because the God that we serve does more than we can ask, think, or imagine." God is ready to release a fresh wave of favor over your life, over our families, over our churches, over our homes. But the key is this: we've got to believe the word of the Lord. We've got to believe that God's word isn't just a good book. We've got to believe that it's God-breathed, that it's the very oracles of heaven, the very oracles of God being spoken into our spirit. We've got to believe God's word. You've got to have more faith in what God has said about your life than the storm that's crashing in around you right now. You know, I found that in my life, with divine rewards, there are responsibilities. With every blessing, there's a commandment. With every breakthrough, you're going to have to walk by faith rather than walking by sight. And you're going to have to do what God tells you to do. You've got to not walk in the flesh, not walk by what your head's saying. Your soul will speak to your head. The enemy will attack your head. The war is in your head. But the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit will always be to your spirit. Don't listen to your head. Listen to your spirit. Your head can lie to you. Your emotions can lie to you. I wish somebody had told me when I got born again that my mind was not born again. The mind has to be renewed. Do not be conformed to this world, Romans 12 verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing every day. Renew your mind, renew your mind. I remember many years ago when I was going through what I would call, and maybe some of you in this room would call, a dark season or a dark night of the soul. You know, it was around the time of the credit crunch, around the time of recession. At that time, I was in construction. And I had a good job, and my wife had a good job. And then everything came crashing in. Problem is, at that time, I forgot to remind myself that there might be recession on earth, but there ain't no recession in heaven. God still rebukes the devourer. God still opens the windows of heaven to the tither, to the offerer, and he pours out a blessing until there's no more need. Amen? And I was going through that season, and we had to downsize, and there were good people that we know and good people that you know who had put their money in investments and properties and things like that. And then this wave came in. You know, when the enemy comes in, he doesn't come in like a trickle. He comes in like a flood. And good people, honest people. Yes, some of them didn't know the Lord, but there are still a lot of good people. Amen. Integrity people. They lost everything. And we lost everything, and we had to downsize. And I lost my job. And I said to Anna, I said, I'm not feeling too good. I'm feeling on an emotional high and low. I don't know what to do. I need to go see the doctor. So I went to the doctor. And the doctor said this. He said, "Mr. Edwards, you're not well. And my prescription is that you could be on the verge of a nervous breakdown." Well, that's what the world will always say. That's what the spirit of this age will always say. He said, "I want you to take 5 tablets 3 times a day. So I got home and I started taking those tablets. And guess what? Instead of feeling better, I felt worse. I was waking up in the middle of the night with panic attacks. I come out within a few days in a red rash all over my body. I was like a Belisha beacon going off and on. And I was just going down and down and down. This went on for about 2 weeks. And I thought, I don't know what to do. And when I came to my lowest point within myself, I cried out to the Lord. You know, God said this to Paul. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." You know, when you come to the end of yourself, when in your flesh and within your own reasonings you are weak, God is always strong. And I came to my lowest point and I cried out to the Lord, just like Jabez cried out to the Lord. And I said, "Lord, help." And God said to me straight away, he said, "Have you got more faith in the tablets or have you got more faith in me?" I said, "Lord, I've got more faith in you." He said, "You take those tablets, you throw them out and don't take another one and watch what I will do. Now, as you leave this building this morning, don't say, 'Well, you know, Jonathan spoke about taking my tablets and taking my medication and taking everything that I've got and throwing it out.' I haven't said that. I've said to you this morning what God said to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It's that word for word that is the rhema word. It's the now word of God. And just like I received a now word, you've got to receive your now word. What God gives as a prescription for your life could be completely different to what he gives to my life. He still wants to heal, but he might do it in a different way. And to me, it was, "Take those tablets, John. Throw them out." And you know, I threw them out, and within 24 hours, I was completely healed. I haven't had depression. I haven't had any kind of nervous breakdown. I haven't had any kind of an emotional scar on my life, because when God says something and we obey, he moves on our behalf. You know, there's a verse in the New Testament concerning when the disciples were asked to go on behalf of Jesus to find a donkey, to find something for him to ride on. There's one phrase there, and it says this: "Whatever he tells you to do, Do it. And I believe there's a prophetic word coming for some of you in the room this morning. Whatever he's telling you to do this year, within the context of the word, which finds an amen within the leadership, whatever he tells you to do, do it in Jesus' name. You know, you might be in a dark place this morning. Maybe nothing has changed for years. Maybe you're faced with sickness. Maybe you're faced with a revolving door where you're just going in and round and round and round in circles. God is saying to you, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to increase you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to push back those powers of darkness and show that I am God. You know, in these verses that we've read, I believe that there are some keys that are significant and important for us to take note of. As I was speaking this verse, there were things that the Spirit of God was saying to me. And I want to communicate them to you this morning, because if you can take hold of what's relevant to your life, I'm telling you, it's going to change you. You've got to remember that when I stand up here, or when Julia or John stand up, we're just servants of Christ. We're just like the delivery boy, the delivery girl, that just bring forth what God has given to us. We are speaking the oracles of God. We are seeking to communicate what the Spirit of God is giving as a burden into our hearts. And when I was in this dream, the Holy Spirit said this to me. First of all, he said, don't let your history determine your destiny. Don't let your past dictate your future. Don't let any other voice be greater than the voice of God. Allow your identity to be based, says the Lord, on what I say in my word about you, not what anything or anyone else in your word would contradict. You know, 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9 says, there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. Listen, this man's name was Jabez. That name means pain. It means affliction. It means sorrow. It means trouble. We've got to remember that when we deal with Scripture, names are important. You know, when we call our kids by a name, when we give them a name today, or when people in this world and society give people a name, they'll take the name of their favorite pop star. You know, in the UK, it was Kylie Minogue, and everybody started calling their kids Kylie. You might not know that they're over here, but it was a pop star. But, you know, people will take football stars or baseball stars, and they say, that's my hero, I'm going to call you that name. Do you know, that might be true in our society, but it was totally different in Hebrew culture. Names in the Bible gave you a meaning. They dictated what you would be and what you would become. Your name in Hebrew culture was your identity. It characterized what your life would be. And you know, Jabez could have just accepted what his mother had prophesied over him. He could have just accepted the label that was given to him, but he refused to believe that his life was sentenced to affliction and pain and sorrow and trouble. He wasn't going to believe that about him. He wasn't going to believe what his mother had called him. He must have known the law. He must have known the books of Moses. He must have known Deuteronomy 28, that he was blessed coming in and blessed going out. He must have known that if he would love the Lord, his God, with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, that he would know the blessing and the provision of God. And he refused to be identified by what labels others put on him. He refused to allow that prophecy to outwork itself within his life. He said, God, I believe you want me blessed. God, I believe you want me increased. God, I believe you're with me. God, I believe that any trouble and affliction and strife is going to be pushed back from me. And it says, God granted him his request. Church, my brother and sister in Christ, your present and your future is defined by who God and His Word says you are. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Colossians 1 verse 13 says that He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son. If you're a Christian, if you're born again this morning, you live in the kingdom of God. You ain't an old sinner anymore. I remember a believer coming up to me a few years ago and he said, look, he said, I need to pray this. He said, we just need to pray that we're old sinners saved by grace. You ain't an old sinner. Romans chapter 6 says that you're dead to sin, you're alive to God. When God the Father looks down at you, He sees you as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You ain't a sinner, you're a saint. Well, can I call myself a saint? Yes, you can. Read Paul's epistles, read Paul's letters. Every time he spoke to the church, he said, to the saints of God in Ephesus, to the saints of God in Corinth, to the saints of God in Colossae, you're a saint of God, you're a child of the King, and greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. I believe that this year is to be different. I believe this year is to be incredible. If we believe that all things have passed away, and we believe that all things have become new, it's time to read the Word, and not just read it for the sake of reading it, but it's time to read the Word and believe we are what the Word says we are in Christ Jesus. It's time to take hold of those scriptures, get your pen out and write your name in there and say, it's speaking about me. God's speaking about me. I'm the head and not the tail. God's speaking about me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's speaking about me. I overwhelmingly conquer in Christ Jesus. God's speaking about me. The devil's under my feet. God's speaking about me. By His stripes I'm healed. God's speaking about me. He's going to meet all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. God is speaking about me. I'm going to go into all the world and lay hands on the sick and preach the gospel and they shall recover. God is speaking about me. I am what my Bible says I am. You are what God and His Word says you are in Christ. You know, Jabez could have taken his identity from his mother, but he took his identity from God. And he took his identity from God because as he read and meditated on who God was, he, like us, need to listen to the right voice. Do you know, in this season, as in any season of life, it's important that we hear the right voice. Do you know, faith doesn't start with seeing. Faith starts with hearing. That's why Jesus said many times in parables, He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's important what you listen to. It's important that I listen to the right voices. I remember a preacher years ago, and I'll never forget this word. I've always tried to live by this word. I've always tried to apply it to my life. His message simply was this: what you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you do. Hear, see, do. You know, that's what happens spiritually. You know, if we're hearing the right voice, if we're listening to the voice of the Spirit, we get a vision for what God has for our lives. It fills our heart. And then out of the abundance of our heart, we speak, and those words become life, and our world is created. You know, there are many voices that will speak into your world on a daily and a weekly basis. Voice of your husband, the voice of your wife, the voice of pressure, the voice of busyness, the voice of what says needs to happen in the diary or on the calendar. The voice of busyness. The voice of the enemy. The voice of stress. The voice of media. We could go on. But there's one voice that we need to hear more than any other voice in our daily walk with God. And that's the voice of God. He will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you through worship. He will speak to you through the Word. And that's the way that we will be guided through life. Jesus said in John 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Don't listen to negativity. Don't listen to gossip. Don't be around people that will bring you down. Get around people that will build you up. Don't get around people that will tell you what God can't do. There's a lot of them. I tell you, you haven't got to go into the world to find them. You can go to churches up and down this land and through the UK and through Europe. They'll tell you what God can't do. I went to Ireland and I went to a small church there. As soon as I got through the door, pastor met me on the door and he said, I just need to tell you, revival's never come to our town. I turned to Anna and I said, it probably won't. He's just spoken it into being. There's power in our words. Bad company, the book of Proverbs says, corrupts good character. Young men, young women, get around people that are godly. Get around people that will share Jesus with you. Get around people that are faith-inspired people that will believe in you. And believe that you've got a future and a destiny in God. Amen. So hear the right voice. Secondly, the Lord said this to me in that dream. He said, if you will pray and praise and petition, God will provide. He said, son, it's time for my people to open their mouths and speak and decree the word of the Lord into being. It's time for them to speak my word. It's time for them to speak life. And they need to know, says the Spirit of God, that my spoken word is a creating word. For just like I spoke my word in Genesis chapter 1 and created the heavens and the earth, says the Spirit of God, so I want to speak and speak through you. So that the words that you speak are life. So that the words that you speak are spirit inspired and that they will create the world around you. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10, he was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me. Expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do. Keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. I'm telling you, I've heard it. I've heard it in the night. I've heard it this week. And I need to tell you right now, provision is near. I'm going to say that again because it's not the word of a man, it's the word of God. Provision is near. I can sense it. I can feel it right now. It's in the atmosphere in this place. This church is pregnant with provision. From heaven, I feel it right now. It's like I can reach out my hand and feel it. And it's as real as if it manifested in your life. You've just got to believe it. You've got to see it with your spirit eyes. You've got to not focus on what is temporal, but you've got to see into the eternal realm and realize God is doing a new thing in the atmosphere of this church, in your life, in your family. And if you will speak it, if you will pray it, if you will petition it, something will be released from heaven that will be more than you could ever imagine. Let me say this to you. I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. My brother, my sister in Christ, don't allow anything to keep you silent this year. Don't allow circumstances. Don't allow distractions. Don't allow mountains. Don't allow valleys. Don't allow enemies to keep you silent this year. There is a miracle in your mouth. When the word is in your heart, there is a miracle in your mouth. And when you speak that word and stand on that word, and having all done to stand, you keep on standing and you keep on speaking, not like a robot, but you believe. You believe what God has said, that it's the word of God. Miracles happen. You know, Rainer Bonnke once said this, and I'm sure for me, John, Julia, those of you who are preachers and teachers of the word in here, we could preach on this for a month. He said this, he said, God's word in God's mouth is as powerful as God's word in your mouth. Wow! God's word might take you a month to think about that. That's okay. So it took me ages to kind of work that out. God's word in God's mouth is as powerful as God's word in my mouth. How is that true? Because I have the word. I not only have the Old Testament, I have the New Testament. The Old Testament saints lived under the shadow, but under the new covenant, established through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the substance. We have Jesus Christ. He might have gone to heaven, but he left his word with us. And this word, I'm not being irreverent now, but this is true. This word is as powerful as if Jesus walked in the room right now, in flesh and blood. It's the same word that's not just logos and living. It's rhema. It's revelation. It has the power to do any miracle in your life this morning before you leave this room. We've got to believe this word. We've got to confess this word. We've got to pray this word. Jabez did not remain silent. He didn't speak that which his mother was speaking over him. He didn't synchronize his words with the words of flesh and blood. He synchronized his words with the will of God on earth for him as it is in heaven. And we've got to synchronize our words with the word of God. And as we do that, things happen. We've got to make sure the prayer and petition and confession is a part of our daily life. Jesus said in Matthew 8 verse 18, he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is Jesus speaking to you right now. He's saying, again, I say to you, if two of you will agree about anything, there's no restrictions there. Oh, well, God will do this and it won't. Come on, throw it out. Throw it out. Throw out those limitations. Throw out that questioning. Let's get back to the word. Let's get back to what Jesus said. He said, if you will agree on earth about anything that you ask, it will be done by my Father in heaven. Let's come into agreement. And let me say this to some of you as well. It might be going on now or it might go on. Don't allow just anything to come into your life and take authority this year. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life in all its fullness. John 10 verse 10. The devil is a thief. You know, naturally, when you're going on vacation or on holiday, say you were going to Vancouver or Florida, I don't know, somewhere nice and hot. Is that okay, John? Julie? Somewhere warm. If you were going on vacation or holiday, you wouldn't go to the local crime boss and say, hey, Mr. Crime Boss, here's the keys to my house. Here's the keys to my cottage. The windows are open, the doors are open, this is where I keep my cash. Just come and take whatever you want. Be free. Just have whatever you want. You'd never do that in the natural. It will be stupid. Why do we do it in the spiritual realm? This is our spiritual house. We've got to rule our mind. We've got to resist the devil. We've got to stand up against the works of evil. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. Take authority. Take authority. Rule over those things that would seek to come into your world, because I'm telling you something. When the enemy comes, In like a flood, the Bible says that the Lord will raise up a standard. And just like Jesus went into the wilderness, he went in and three times the enemy came up to tempt and test him. And every time Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil had to flee. And as you speak that word and believe that word, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, which Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 6. As you hold up that sword and as you speak that word, the devil and circumstances have to change. In Jesus' mighty name, Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, oh, I hear Holy Ghost right now, with thanksgiving. What does that mean? Let me tell you what that means. Why don't you just praise him in advance? With thanksgiving. Doesn't matter if nothing's changing. Do you think it was changing for the children of Israel and Joshua when they walked around the walls of Jericho? 6 days they were mocked. 6 days that they were laughed at. But they were silent. But on the seventh day there was a shout with thanksgiving. And the walls came tumbling down. And just like natural walls came tumbling down then, spiritual walls can come tumbling down this year if we will praise him in advance, if we will praise and pray and proclaim the word of the Lord. Things will change. Do you know, for the last 3 years, myself and Anna have been believing the Lord for a motorhome. You might call, I think it's called an RV over here. Little motorhome. Thinking, why does John want a motorhome? Well, we feel part of our call is to the UK. And we've got this heart to just go up and down the UK and hold evangelistic crusades through Ireland, telling people about Jesus. You know, I go back and then we've got a time in Ireland where we're just going through the land and we're just reaching out to people because we want to see people saved and we want to see the churches revived and restored. We're planning to go into Wales near the 1904 revival when it happened there. Hold a crusade and see what God does. And we've been praying for 2 years for this little RV just to get around and so that we wouldn't have huge bills and we'd be able to just go back and forth and be like John Wesley. You know, John Wesley used to go through the UK, he went on a horse. Well, I've never been on a horse, and I couldn't imagine myself on a horse. So we've been believing God for this. And you know, 3 weeks before I came to Canada, I was in the car. And I'm saying this to me because it applies to you right now. It applies to you. I'm telling you, the seasons have changed. I was in the car and the Holy Spirit just filled the car. And he said, son, the seasons have changed. He said, it's no longer a season of labor. It's a season of favor. I said, thank you, Lord. And the Spirit of God spoke to my spirit and he said, you can have your motorhome. You know, but how? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, look, if you do this with the ministry and register it as this, and if you do this, this, and this, he said, the wealth of the wicked will be laid up into the hands of the righteous. And you know, your mind just goes crazy because you think, this can't be true. I can't see how this could work out. But when you hear God, your mind will never understand. Your mind will say, stupid. But your spirit will say, that's God. I've heard God. Might be winter all around me, but I've heard God. I've got springtime on the inside of me. I don't care what's going on in the world around me. I've heard God. And something's going to change. So I told Anna, and I said, look, I need to get on to the accountant. I rung the accountant, who is a Christian accountant. Because if it's the word of the Lord, it'll always be legal. Amen. I'll just throw that one in. So I said, Brad, I said, I've heard God, and we need this for this, that, and that. We believe that we're going into a new season. We believe there's going to be spiritual awakening in Europe like many of us are believing. Because we got less than 4% who were born again. John's been to Ireland many times. Ireland's probably the Bible Belt of Europe. And you know, if we can get 45 or 50 in a meeting, we're having revival, amen? We have grannies and grandpas out. I tell you something, they'll want you going on for a month even if there's 20 there. But we need something fresh to happen. I said, Brad, God's spoken to me and we need to do this with the ministry. And I said, if we do this, this and this, is it legal? He said, yes, John. He said, that is legal. You've heard from God. He said, that's amazing. He said, that's incredible. He said, that can only be God. And then my wife said, well, it must be God because you can think of it. So we said, yeah, go for it. So we got an RV or a small motorhome, brand new. And we will file our accounts in the next 3 months to the government. And the government will give us back $16,000. Which will pay the payments on that motorhome for 18 months. I'm telling you something, when God has got an idea, when God has put something in your spirit, if you can believe Him, if you can confess, if you can agree with the word of the Lord, all things, hallelujah, are possible. The prayers of a righteous man or woman of God is powerful and effective. Corrie ten Boom once said this, don't pray when you feel like it. Hey, we wouldn't be praying, would we? Come on. Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man or woman of God is powerful on their knees. F.B. Meyer said, the greatest tragedy of life is not an answered prayer, but an offered prayer. If we will offer Him prayers, He will answer our prayers finally and quickly. Expect blessing. Expect increase. Expect God being with you. Well, He is with you because He says He'll never leave you or forsake you. And expect trouble. Expect affliction. Expect heartache to be pushed back from your life this year. Let your confession be, oh God, wherever I go, You're going to bless me. Oh God, whatever I do, You're going to expand and increase me. You are with me on whatever trouble, whatever valley, whatever situation I'm going through. That devil, that demon, those circumstances are going to be pushed back. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, you and I were made for blessing and increase. We haven't got time, but you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. God's initial intention for mankind created in the image of God is to bless them and for them to have dominion. Paul opens up in Ephesians chapter 1 and says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We are blessed. And this is the year, I believe, this is the year of increase. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. An increase of health. An increase of success. An increase of prosperity. You know, Julia was saying in the session, earlier session, she said, look, we have a problem. Or ladies, you might have a problem. If you see a handbag or some luxury designer goods and you think that's too expensive for me, what are we going to get in heaven? It's going to be priceless. And as she said, we're not telling you this morning to go out and buy that, but God just wants to amaze you this year. God wants to astound you with His goodness and His grace and His mercy. And I declare right now, increase. A greater increase on the work of your hands. A greater increase on success and favor and blessing. And for the enemy to be pushed back from every area of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, that you would bless me, expand me, increase me, be with me, and push back all trouble, all pain, and all sorrow. In Jesus' name. Stand with me. Stand with me. I'm not going to be long because the Spirit of God can do things quickly. I don't know everybody who's in this room this morning. Do you know everybody here this morning? Not everybody. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, John, this is maybe the first, second, or third time I've come here. I've been invited. And I don't know if I'm a Christian. You know, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I was speaking to somebody recently and they said, well, there was a point in my life where I decided to sin. I said, no. That's not what the Bible teaches. We were born into a sinful world. Our nature as we grew up was to sin. We're sinners without God, and sinners need a Savior, every one of us. And you might be thinking, well, there's many ways to God. Well, that's what the media would tell you. That's what the newspapers would tell you. That's certainly what Google will tell you. But Jesus said very clearly, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul said there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one way, there's only one door into the kingdom of heaven. There's only one way that you can have your sins forgiven, and it's through the blood of Jesus. That's why we celebrate Easter. The blood of Jesus, when he died on that cross, he was the sacrifice, he was the substitute, so that you wouldn't have to go there. He was that substitute. He took our sin, our sickness, and every foul thing that has happened in humanity, he took it upon himself. So that we could have our sins wiped away. We could be cleansed through his blood. Jesus is in heaven, but his Holy Spirit is here. And the Bible's very clear that if we could believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. You know, you up until this point might have been walking in one direction. The Bible says that we're to repent, be sorry, turn around and follow Jesus. Well, I'm just hoping I'm going to heaven. It's not good enough. That tells me you're not. I don't hope so. I know so. I believe that's one characteristic of everybody who's been born again. I know that whatever happens tomorrow, if I leave this body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, if you're saying, let's just close our eyes for a moment. If you're saying, John, that's me. I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never, ever made a decision for Jesus. I'm not talking to people who have made decisions now. I'm talking to somebody who might have been in it first time or a few times, and you're saying, I have never made that decision. Well, here's your opportunity. You're saying, John, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. I want you to pray for me right now. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to know that my future is secured, and I want to enjoy life to the full right now. If you're saying, John, that's me, raise your hand where you are right now. Is there one in the house? Is there anybody here? You said, I want to give my life to Jesus. Okay, maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, John, I'm a Christian, but I'm not living right with God. You know, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like parking a car in a garage doesn't make that car a garage. What makes you a Christian? What makes you a Christian is by knowing Jesus Christ and having a life transforming relationship with him. And you know, it's so easy to get lukewarm. It's so easy to drift. It's happened to me before. I've been there. I'm sure if we were all honest, we'd all gone through seasons where we've been busy and barren. And maybe you're saying, John, I just feel like I've lost my first love for the Lord. When Jesus came to the churches in Revelation, he came to the church in Ephesus and he said, look, I've got this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. You've lost that passion for me. You've lost that fire for me. You've got into religion rather than into relationship. It's become form. It's become mundane. You're just going through the motions. God doesn't want you going through the motions in your Christian walk with him. He wants you knowing a dynamic, passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're saying, John, that's me this morning, will you pray for me? Raise your hand where you are right now and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Is there any more in the house? You want prayer this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Is there any more? You're saying, pray for me. I just want to be on fire for Jesus. Thank you. Is there any more? Father, I thank you for those hands that have gone up right now. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Like David said in Psalm 51, restore the joy of my salvation. I pray that you will restore the joy of knowing Jesus, the life-giving experience of knowing him. Take us back to that first love, because everything is about love. I rebuke every power, every principality, every demonic foe right now in Jesus' name. And I declare that this is your year to know him and experience him like you've never known him before. In Jesus' name. One final thing I need to pray for. And it's simply this. In the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit woke me up and said this. He said, tell my people, I am ready and willing and able to release a fresh manifestation of my grace, favor, blessing, and increase into their lives. That's what he said. So I want to pray that over you this morning. If you're saying, John, I need that. John, there's some stuff going on in my world. I need some devils pushed back. John, I felt all alone going through that valley. I need to know the presence of the Lord. I'm going to pray that over you right now. If that's you, come forward quickly. Come forward quickly. I'm just going to lay my hands on you quickly. If you're saying, I want prayer right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, just put your hands out towards these people if you can. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for each man and woman standing here right now. We believe, Lord, that there is a release of blessing. There is a release of favor. Father, we believe right now that there is going to be success on all the works of their hands. We believe that barrenness is gone. That abundance has come. That decrease has gone. That increase has come. We believe, like David, when he said, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We release this morning the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord on the people of God in Jesus' name. We speak against illness. We speak against sickness. We speak against demonic attack. We come up against lack in Jesus' name. And we release that blessing that Jabez prayed over your people this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. We just release that right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, receive it by faith. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. You know, the presence of God is in this place right now. I kind of sense there's somebody here from the waist down, maybe in your legs, you're feeling the presence of God or a heat in your legs. I believe there's somebody that needs healing in their legs. I don't know where in their legs, but maybe you just feel and sense God right now. You just receive that healing in Jesus' name right now. In the name of Jesus. 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 I just release that blessing, that increase. That increase in Jesus' name. I change the forecast over your life right now in the name of Jesus. I command the forecast over your life to change right now. I see that there's been one forecast. I see in the spirit realm right now a weather condition over your life that has not been good. I command release. I command release. I command breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the page to be turned, and that one, I call one chapter to end right now in the name of Jesus. And I command a new chapter to begin in the name of Jesus Christ. I command trouble and sorrow and anything that represents a dark season of the soul to end in the name of Jesus. And I say, let the spiritual weather forecast over this life change. Let spring begin in every area of your life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Blessing. Increase. Overflow. Blessing. Increase. Overflow. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've got a business in this place, I know I'm moving, but I'm hearing the Holy Spirit here. If you've got a business in this place, raise your hand right now. I saw fresh grace being poured out on businesses. I saw fresh grace being poured out. And I'm calling on God. To bring an ease to business this year. A grace that makes it easier than it's been. A grace that will release the provision, and not only the provision for some of you, because you've got the provision, but the resource, and I hear manpower. In Jesus' name, I release manpower. I release the best laborers to you right now, so that you can get the work done in a more efficient way, quicker and swifter than ever in the name of Jesus. I release laborers. Laborers. I hear that word, laborers, right now. The best of the best. I call them into your business right now in Jesus' name. And I ask you now, Father, I say, Lord, let business be a breeze this year. Let it just be easy. For some of you that have known a lack of time, I'm calling for a return of supernatural time into your business, so that you'll have time off in Jesus' name. Even in the busy season, I call that into your business right now. In the mighty name of the Lord. Give Jesus a hand of praise and let's glorify Him. Hallelujah.
Close in prayer, and I'll just pray for the offering, and you just give what God puts in your heart. Father, we just thank you. We just praise you, Father, for what you've done today in many people's lives. Father, we just thank you for being good to us. You're a wonderful God that loves us, that does everything you can to bring us into everything you want. Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. Lord, I just thank you that you just bless the giver. You bless the tither. You bring increase to them. And Lord, if there's people that don't have anything to give, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, that you give them seed to sow, that you can bring increase to their lives. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. I thank you for the best church family ever. Father, I thank you. You've blessed us here with wonderful people. And we're just so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.